Well, hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Is there something on your mind, a Bible question you'd like to pose, something you'd like to talk about? Well, give us a call right now. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742, is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking today in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is just a fabulous chapter in the Bible. A lot of people say all the roads in the Word of God end up in chapter 8. It's kind of one of those pinnacle chapters. It really brings the story to its culmination as far as what we have here and now and what we're going to have in the future as children of God. But I love this passage, and I just wish more and more believers would fully embrace what this passage teaches us. It would give us the courage to stand up and really live out who we are in this world today. And certainly we need Christians to stand up and live out who they are. That doesn't mean be obnoxious Christians. That doesn't mean being, you know, anything other than manifesting the love of God as you depend and abide in Jesus Christ himself. That's what it means, having the courage to do that. So here's what Paul wrote, and he's speaking about those in the flesh, those in the spirit. Those in the flesh are lost. Those in the spirit are alive, they're saved. And he gets to this point in verse 15 of chapter 8 and says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Now, Richard, yesterday you talked about assurance of salvation, the fact that because of Pentecost, the giving of the Spirit of God, we have this unshakable assurance that we truly belong to Christ.
Yes.
And this is a verse that really puts an exclamation point on that truth. We received the Spirit of sonship, the Spirit of adoption as sons. And by this Spirit, the Spirit of God himself, we cry, Abba, Father. So what does this tell us? It tells us that we belong to God, that we are a part of the family of God. Now, Christianity, we're saved individually, each and every one of us at a point in time. The gospel message hits our hearts. We recognize our need, and we receive Jesus Christ. But we're not left as orphans, as individuals. We are added to the body of Christ, and we belong to this big, huge family of God. And so all of us cry out with the same spirit, and we cry out exactly the same thing, Abba, Father. Now, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How do we know we're saved? Well, the Spirit of God tells us we're saved. That's that inner voice impressing on our minds that we truly are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. Now, does it get any better than that as far as identity?
Oh, it can't. There is nothing else.
Yeah, there's nothing else. I mean, we look out there in the world, and everybody's trying to climb the ladder of self-worth. We try to climb it through the possessions that we have, the status that we have, the power that we have, the relationships that we have. We try to add all of those things together to move us up the ladder of self-worth so that we can look in the mirror and say, I'm somebody. I'm kind of a big deal. That's what we want to say about ourselves. But the reality is that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Apart from Christ, eternally, we're simply sinners, lost, spiritually dead. There's nothing for us beyond the grave except judgment and condemnation. Well, when we come to Christ, everything changes. And we've been given a status that is unshakable, unmovable. And it's a status the world doesn't recognize. There's not a lot of reporters that are going into churches and saying, hey, a new creature was made today, someone who came to Christ. They don't report on that. They don't recognize the status of children of God as being significant in this world. But there's no greater, no higher status for a human to achieve. And we don't achieve it. We're just lifted there by the very grace of God.
No ladder, just set at the apex to start with.
Absolutely. And so we're fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. In this world, we're not going to be recognized for who we are, but that's temporary. That's short-lived. There's going to come a time when we're going to go be with the Lord. He's going to come back. We're going to be with him. Everybody's going to recognize him for who he is, and they're going to recognize us for who we are. So we don't have a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. This spirit of adoption just punches that fear right in the face, gives us the courage to stand out in this world today as children of light.
And that's Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this edition. If you have something you'd like to discuss, if you have a question you'd like to pose, give us a call, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, less than 2 weeks now before the end of our fiscal year, and of course, exceeding our budget needs will help us take this new covenant message to new areas and new listeners. But we, need to make sure that we meet that budget. So, Bob, talk to our listeners just a little bit about the importance of meeting our fiscal year-end needs.
Well, we've got about 2 weeks left until June 30th, and that is the critical date. So we're at a point of urgency. We need to act today. We have about $100,000 left to raise to meet the target. That's not beyond reach. Last year we raised much more than that in the last month. So, we are trusting the Lord to work in people's hearts, but to do it now. So if you like Basic Gospel, you like what you're hearing on the radio dial that you're listening to, we ask you to come and be a part of Basic Gospel Nation. To join with us as a financial partner so that others can hear the good news of God's love and grace. The good news that they belong to Christ, that they have the Spirit of God living in them, this spirit of sonship. You know, fear is a huge thing out there in the world.
Yeah.
When you are giving to Basic Gospel, you are help alleviating spiritual fear in the hearts of people all around this country. So we ask you to give generously so that we can be on a strong financial ground when we start July 1 and be able to maybe open up some new doors of opportunity to alleviate fear in other people's lives. And I tell you, the fear in the lost world is unbelievable. But when you look into the church, the body of Christ, you see fear just rampant there as well. And when this grace of God hits people's hearts, even if they've been believers for years, it really addresses that fear, casts it away, and liberates people to walk freely as children of God. So give generously.
That's why we ask you to step up, everybody, and help Basic Gospel get across the goal line and go far beyond, if possible. Others need to hear, as Bob said, the truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are several ways that you can give. First, of course, is to donate online at basicgospel.net or call 844-322-2742 and help us not only reach, but go far beyond our fiscal year-end needs. Make your gift at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Now also, if you live in Canada, you can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. Otherwise, you can donate via PayPal or by physical mail. Our physical address at Basic Gospel is 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310. We're in Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Any way is a great way to partner with us here at Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines, and we're going to talk to Duran in Temple, Texas. Welcome, my friend.
Hey, Bob. I was doing a little Bible study a couple of days ago, and I came across this scripture that's very, it's very interesting about Luke 1:6 about Zechariah and Elizabeth. The scripture says they were righteous in the sight of God by observing all the laws and commands and decrees of the Lord. But the Bible is very clear that no one will be justified by observing the law. So why is this, you know, this specific people says that they were justified? So maybe I'm missing the context of it or something, and maybe you can explain it better.
Well, I think their hearts were directed toward God in the right way. They were recognizing that a Messiah was coming. I think they were waiting for that. I think that's what this verse is all about. It wasn't the fact that their obedience to the law made them righteous. It just meant that they believed what the law was pointing toward, the promise of a Messiah. And, you know, there were people that abided by the law, and it's in the spirit of it. Maybe they didn't carry out every jot and tittle, but they abided in the spirit of it. They understood that it was much bigger than simply, here's a law, I better keep it. If not, I'm going to be punished. But it had a purpose to point to Jesus. And I think that's what this is saying. So they were imputed righteousness through belief. That's always been the way. It's never been through obedience to the law. So Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And it was just saying that Zechariah and Elizabeth were walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. So that was kind of their lifestyle type of thing. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
Richard, do you have any thoughts on it?
I mean, these people were walking by faith in the one true God. Remember, they were under the old covenant, so the law had impact on them. He was a priest. She was of the daughters of Aaron. And they kept that covenant in the way God intended them to keep the covenant, by faith in the one true God. And they were commended for that, as were many people in the Old Testament in some of those stories. Because if you look at it from a purely behavioral point of view, of course no one has ever been declared righteous in God's sight by keeping the law. But if you look at it from a spiritual perspective, by grace through faith, they were keeping that law by grace
through faith
in the context of the old covenant.
Right. Well, they had put their faith in the coming Messiah, basically the plan of God.
Yes.
And that's what the scripture says, that the Old Testament saints, they were righteous because of their faith, not of their works. So, well, that, like I said, that's one thought I had. I just wanted to, maybe get somebody else's take on it. So I'm glad y'all kind of cleared that up, because that really, it just kind of tripped me up. But it doesn't discredit what the rest of the scriptures say about no one will be justified because of the works of the law. It's always been by faith. So,
yeah. I mean, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mean, we're all in the same boat. What Zechariah and Elizabeth recognized was that God had a way, God had a plan, and they walked in that. And so they were walking in what God had revealed to them. And that was the kind of affections of their heart. but they were waiting for a promise. And they certainly were a part of that story. You know, John the Baptist, and then not soon after his birth was the very birth of Jesus. And so they were in on when God was executing this plan in Christ Jesus. So.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Okay. Well,
thank you for clearing that up for me.
You're welcome, my friend. Thanks for your call, as always.
Yeah, thanks, Daron. Good to hear from you. If you have a question, friends, good opportunity right now. Give us a call at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from our friend Corey. He says, in Paul's letter to the Romans, doesn't the word reprobate describe the overall condition of mankind and its rejection of God? Growing up in the faith, it was taught to me that a reprobate mind is the person who was saved, but was also bad and unrepentant, and that God just sends them to hell. The word means useless, as we all were before the cross. What are your thoughts on that, the word reprobate?
Well, I think he's exactly right. It's not, you know, we can be saved and be made alive together with Christ, and then because we've had some bad thoughts or choose to do some bad things, we're tossed out. We're tossed out into the outer darkness. No, that's not what it is. Reprobate is kind of a rebellion against God. It's that raising that high hand against him and saying, I don't want anything a part of you. I don't want to be a part of you. I don't want you in my life. I want to do it my way. And they sing the Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. And that's what a reprobate mind is. So I think Corey has it exactly right there.
Yeah. Richard, your thoughts very quickly on the upcoming end of our fiscal year.
What an opportunity, right? We have this message. We know that people's lives are changed when they learn about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We know that there are more chances out there to present this message than we could ever accomplish in 10 lifetimes. But some of those opportunities come to us, and you folks make it possible to reach them, because you're responding in faith to what Jesus is doing in your life, just like we are. And together, the body of Christ, together, we make this stuff happen, and because God's the one who's making it happen.
Sure.
And it's a joy. It's, I mean, how could you not be excited in supporting the message of Jesus? I mean, that's what
that.
It's all about.
Talked about that yesterday, and what a thrill it is to see a life change. Thank you for those thoughts, Richard. Friends, you can contribute to sustaining Basic Gospel in quite a number of ways. We talked about that earlier. If you can go online, you can get our physical address if you want to send a check, or you can go to basicgospel.net, of course, and click donate, or call 844-322-2742 and make your contribution. Help us get across the finish line and go far beyond by the end of the month.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Allen, Texas, and talk to Cameron. Hi, Cameron.
How you doing?
Doing fine. What's on your mind today, my friend?
Just wanted to ask this question. I am married, and I have two kids, two sons. I just wanted to know, okay, so I know temptation, lust are sins. Why can't I get over my, I don't want to say it's an addiction, but I do go to porn, and I wanted to know the easiest ways to completely stop, if there's ways.
Well, Cameron, the scripture would tell you this, that you should walk by the Spirit, and then you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, and I think you're probably doing it backwards. You're trying to clean up the desires of the flesh. You're trying to get rid of the desires of the flesh in order to walk in the Spirit. So you have these temptations, then as those temptations hit your eyes, then the flesh kind of flares up, and the flesh wants to be gratified. It wants you to look at more pictures and more things, and then you do, and you feel guilty, and then you say, I need to get rid of those desires of the flesh. Well, when you say that, now your mind is concentrating on the desires of the flesh, and you've just given a perfect opportunity to your enemy to jump in and fuel the flames. So when you say, I need to get rid of the desires of the flesh, the enemy's going to say, what desires? What desires are you talking about?
Yeah, be specific.
Those lust desires, yeah. That pornography, I need to, you mean like the stuff you saw yesterday? And so your mind just gets sucked down into that pit, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. After I watch it or whatever, I just feel down.
You feel awful. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel convicted, yeah.
You feel dirty. You feel like God's just ticked off at you. Feel like maybe he's even turned his back on you. And you're thinking, well, how am I going to get him to turn back around? Well, I guess I have to get rid of this desire. And then when I get rid of this fleshly desire, then maybe he'll turn back around and show his face to me again. Well, that's not how it works, Cameron. God loves you, period. And as we talked about at the top of the hour, he has sent his spirit to live inside of you. So I'm assuming that you know Christ and that you know Christ is alive living in you.
Amen. Yes, sir, I do. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So Christ is right there with you, and his presence in you is your assurance that you belong. So nothing can separate you from the love of God. God has already condemned your sin in Christ Jesus. He has forgiven all of your sins, so you stand before him as a forgiven person. You've been declared righteous in his sight. So when you believe the gospel, Cameron, you were born again, the Spirit of God came to live inside of you, and you were declared to be righteous. You were given the very righteousness of Christ. So even when you're lusting, even when you're looking at pornography, if you're in Christ, how righteous are you?
I'm as righteous as God sees me from Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for all my sins, past, present, and future.
Yeah. So he who knew no sin became sin, so that in him you might become the righteousness of Christ. So you're as righteous as Jesus Christ. So you have to realize that even at your worst, even when the desires of the flesh are tugging at your heart the strongest in your mind and trying to move you away from your walk with Jesus Christ, you're still a child of God, you're loved by God, your sins have been forgiven, and you are righteous in his sight, and you have the Spirit living in you. So the idea, Cameron, is this. It's to focus your eyes on the love of God, and then as you walk in the Spirit, and that's what it means to walk in the Spirit, is to focus your eyes on the love of God, then the byproduct of that is you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Those desires will not go away, but you don't have to give in to them. You don't have to gratify them. You don't have to say yes to those temptations. And that's a byproduct of walking in the Spirit. Cameron, let me do this. We're almost out of time for this edition. Let me put you on hold. I want to send you some materials that I think will be really extremely helpful to you. Okay, my friend?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, you hang on. Thanks for your call.
Sylvia, we're sorry we didn't get to your call. We hope you'll call tomorrow. We'll be here, and we'd love to hear from you. So please call tomorrow. And friends, remember, Basic Gospel is listener-supported. We need your help to keep this New Covenant message going out over the air and online. The end of our fiscal year is drawing near, as we've been talking about, and there are new areas with new listeners who need to hear of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please join us if you can. Just donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. You can mail a check to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Louisville, Texas, 75057. And you can give through the Basic Gospel app or through PayPal. Canadian listeners, please donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. And remember, if you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss, 844-322-2742 is available anytime you choose to call. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks for joining us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. For Bob Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow. We will be. I hope you will be too. Bye-bye.